Trey Lance may not get his third NFL start after all. Jimmy Garoppolo throwing at practice Wednesday. More cornerbacks put on the COVID list, which is bad news for the 49ers, but they could get one guy back. And Emmanuel Mosley, an important one, could be returning off of injured reserve. Everything going on with the 49ers at practice leading up to what is a playoff game, week 18, the keys to victory for those Los Angeles Rams coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker. There's no crossover Thursday this week because our guy Sosa Kremenjes, congratulations to him, by the way, the host of Locked On Rams, no longer will be hosting Locked On Rams because he got a new gig. It's an important sounding title too. Congrats to him, the head of NFL information at Underdog Fantasy. So he is a busy man. I was going to try to get him to come on for a couple minutes and talk to us here to see him off into his new job, but he was too busy. He's swamped because there's a lot of information in the NFL, and we're going to try to crunch some information here as we get ready for the Los Angeles Rams, and we're going to move up our keys to victory one day. And instead we're going to do a little live stream on YouTube Thursday evening for our final pod of the week and incorporate some of you listeners, because I know everyone's going to be hyped for this week 18 finale. And it's playoffs. It's playoff time, right, Croc? It is playoffs right now. And we both just looked at Jimmy Garoppolo, the video of him throwing at practice. He was limited at practice, but throwing for the first time, ball was coming out okay. That really changes my opinion on whether or not Jimmy's going to play this week. And I think it just went over 50% that Jimmy will be back and playing for the 49ers against those Rams.
I'd put it at closer to, I'd be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo does not start. It looked like the ball came out of his hand fine. Now, he was at the press conference and said that it hurts. You know, throwing with a ligament, I believe it was Grant Cohn that asked him the question about that. Hey. So I'm assuming it's a pain tolerance thing with him. And if he feels like, you know, he's able to kind of throw through that pain, I'm pretty sure they'll shoot him up pretty good. It's probably a pain tolerance type thing, but I expect Jimmy Garoppolo to go.
Yeah, if he can throw. Now, I only saw a couple of throws there from, I believe it was Matt Barrows that was filming on the sideline during warm-ups. He was limited to practice. Nobody's going to touch him all week long. Kyle Shanahan said he literally does not know yet, and he will not tell us even if he does know, because he doesn't want the Rams to know who's going to be quarterback, which is a smart way to do it.
Hold on. Kyle gets a little sassy, huh?
He does. I mean, he's being honest and sassy at the same time, but I like it. We already knew. We said the exact same thing yesterday. There's no reason for Kyle to tell us who's going to play, and he pretty much said that. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you even when I do know. But he said he legitimately was not lying when he said, as of Wednesday's practice, he still didn't know who was going to be playing quarterback Sunday. And I still think that unless Jimmy Garoppolo is 100%, which he will not be, then Trey Lance gives you a better chance to win. We saw how the ball floated for Jimmy G when he tried to play through it the week it got injured against the Titans. I don't know how much better it could be right now than that week. Pain is one thing, but if you can't feel it, but you still can't function fully, I don't know, man. Like, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you see any ducks fly from his hand during practice this week, I don't know if you can play him.
Well, I think most people would say that the ball doesn't come out clean out of Trey Lance's hands. So, you know, there's that element of it. You know, what I would ask you is, or what I wanted to explain, because I did get this question on social media. Someone asked me, are there benefits to him not naming a starter? And what does that do to a defensive guy? He was asking as a cornerback, like, as a cornerback, does it affect you not knowing who the quarterback is going to be? And I would say, it does, but it's kind of a snowball effect. It really affects the defensive coordinator, because unless your two quarterbacks are the same and they're going to be running the same system, like, say, Jimmy Garoppolo as opposed to Nick Mullins, and obviously they still have their strengths and weaknesses, but for the most part, the game plan was very similar. It's a lot different when it comes to Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, their strengths, their weaknesses. You know, we saw the throw chart where Jimmy's is mostly over the middle. Trey Lance, everything was really spread out. So having to prepare for two guys, that's tough. It's hard enough trying to find enough hours to prepare for one guy. And if you literally have no idea, which I believe Kyle when he says, I don't know who's going to start right now. I think he's leaning towards Jimmy Garoppolo, but he doesn't know Jimmy's going to be able to, and he needs this week to find out. So there's a lot that goes into that, but it definitely makes it a little bit more difficult on the Rams to prepare.
And it probably makes it more difficult for Kyle to make a decision because Trey showed some things last week. And if Trey was a total disaster, then that scale might slide a lot easier toward the Jimmy Garoppolo side, no matter what percent he is, as long as he can go. But I think just being able to play is not enough in this situation. We'll see how Kyle Shanahan feels about it later on in the week. But yeah, just seeing him throw the ball, ball came out okay in some of the clips I saw. He did say it effing hurts. So I don't know. We'll find out. I'm not quite as sold on you that it will be Jimmy, but it did go over 50% to the Jimmy side after seeing him throw a practice today.
Speaking of, you know, seeing guys throw, did you see the breakdown that Dan Orlowski did for Trey Lance?
No, but I've seen, everywhere. The Athletic had a good one. Mark Schofield was talking about Trey Lance, who's a friend of the program. And Dan Orlovsky, I saw a tweet that he was mentioning a bunch of different things. But, yeah, I saw him talk about Trey Lance, but I didn't see the total breakdown. But and we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier in the week. I mean, a ton of respect coming Trey Lance's way. There's a lot of believers, and people's eyes were opened up and saw him play and say, okay, I can kind of see this. I can see where the ceiling could potentially be in this offense with a player as talented as Trey Lance.
Yeah, there was a clip that Dan Orlovsky showed, and he was very excited to show, just showed like kind of the growth really from one quarter to the next for Trey Lance. And on Trey Lance's first drop back, very first drop back, they run this like, it was like a spread, but like a bunch to one side. And whatever concept they ran, he didn't feel comfortable pulling the trigger and throwing it. They showed it again that they played, that they did that same exact concept in the second quarter, right before halftime. And I mean, he let it rip before the receiver was even out of his break. It was that one play. It was a nice game to Brandon Ayuk, where it was kind of a drive throw. And he was cocking back before Ayuk was even looking back. He wasn't even out of his break yet. And, I mean, put it on him. It was on the line. Boom, hit him. The timing was great. And you see things like that, and it's like, he's going to be all right. He's going to be all right.
You could really see some of the velocity and stuff from the All-22 tape and the end zone angles and stuff that maybe on the broadcast you couldn't quite tell what type of a throw it was, and seeing some different angles, seeing some of these different throws, being able to see him throw before the breaks and show anticipation. There was the Jennings throw on the sideline, Ayuk throw. That gets you excited because those are things that veterans do, throw with anticipation, right? Tight windows and some of those things. And manipulation with your eyes is something he could grow with. I think mechanically he'll grow a lot. Obviously, just knowing what he's seeing with what the coverage is, what the defense is throwing at you, knowing his own playbook. I mean, there's so much more for him to learn, but to see some of the things he did at a high level, which is why you draft that guy number 3 overall, the talent is super exciting, and it's really cool to see the national media start breaking him down, and everybody's on board. Everyone's excited about young Trey Lance. I really would love to know candidly how excited Kyle Shanahan is right now about Trey Lance.
I think Kyle Shanahan,
maybe outsiders would be, because outsiders get to see this finished product, but they don't get to see how the sausage is made and how it's gone all season long in practice and mistakes that have been made, and how challenging it is for young players, especially quarterbacks, with coaches. And Kyle Shanahan seems to be especially difficult with rookies and expects a lot out of his players.
I would say Kyle Shanahan is probably excited about the talent that he possesses and flashes that he's showing. But like JT Sullivan was saying during his breakdown, he showed like frustrating, like things that could be frustrating for a play caller. Whereas like, hey, I call the play a certain way, and yeah, you eventually made a play off script and threw for a first down, but I want you to hit these double slants because that's open right now. You know, so I'm pretty sure Kyle Shanahan's looking at it like, yes, like this is awesome. We got the guy. He's in his second start. I understand where he's at in his development, and I'm encouraged by it. But I need you to, like, for me to feel fully comfortable with you being out there, I need you to execute the way I want you to. And when he's able to do that and mix in his stuff when things aren't quite there, that's probably when Kyle Shanahan will be the most excited.
Jimmy Garoppolo starts. Does Kyle at this point have to use the two quarterback system again? Do you think Trey needs to get in there? because you're not going to run a guy with a bad thumb on quarterback sneaks and things like that. Do you think there's an element now that Trey has earned the right to at least be on the field and have packages again? And the fact that Kyle Shanahan had to go through an entire game plan, maybe he's got some stuff in his mind and is ready, more ready right now than he might have been in the middle of the season to put Trey Lance out there for a package or two?
I don't think you play Jimmy Garoppolo unless you believe he can take a quarterback sneak. Like, I truly think, like, if you feel like I can't do something because of his thumb, then you probably go with Trey Lance.
That makes total sense. Yeah, if there's anything, and that's where I've been at. Like, it's got to be 100% Jimmy. You've got to believe that he can throw perfectly, no hindrance at all in his throwing hand, no hindrance on him, you know, holding on to the ball in the pocket and not fumbling, no hindrance on him maybe carrying the rock if he has to, and those types of things, because you got to protect the football in this game. You can't be throwing interceptions, which reminds me about one of my keys to victory for the 49ers coming up here with those Los Angeles Rams. We got to talk cornerbacks. I feel like it's QBs and CBs all season long, Croc, and those storylines will not stop. Let's talk corners next and our keys to victory for Week 18. And you can get in on a little action with Week 18 if you are excited about the line. What is it, 5.5? Has that changed? By the way, let me double check on that real quick, because I think it opened at 6 or 5.5 points, those Los Angeles Rams favored. And actually, that's creeping toward the 49ers. It's 4.5 now. So the line getting closer. That means money is coming in on the 49ers side. Do you bet stronger if it's Jimmy? Do you bet stronger if it's Trey? Vegas thinks that the Saints are going to win and that the 49ers are going to lose. Can the 49ers turn that on its ear? You can find those lines, odds, props, everything at betonline.ag. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all your sports wagering for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2022 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. Is this the week, Croc? I've asked you this question probably 10 times on the podcast this season. Is this the week the cornerbacks crumble? High-powered offense, Matthew Stafford, Odell Beckham, Cooper Kupp could break the all-time receiving yards, receptions, and touchdowns record in this game if he goes off. I think he needs 130-something yards. Can he do it against, who knows, is going to be back there? Because this is what we're looking at right now with the 49ers corners. Emmanuel Mosley, expected to return in a limited fashion to practice, potentially. They're opening the practice window today, Wednesday, for Emmanuel Mosley, Mohamed Sanu, and Tavon Wilson. They might need all three of those guys. Emmanuel Mosley would be huge for the 49ers this week, but it's not guaranteed just because the practice window's opening that he's going to be activated this week. We'll find out more information on that later in the week. We'll find out more information on the COVID list, which has another addition, and it happens to be another cornerback, Croc. This time the rookie, Ambry Thomas, going on the list as of Tuesday. Dante Johnson, Jimmy Ward, Raheem Mostert, Kaywan Williams already on the COVID list. That's rough. If the 49ers go into Sunday against the Rams and don't have Ambry Thomas or Dante Johnson or Kaywan Williams or Jimmy Ward in the secondary, and maybe not even Emmanuel Mosley activated, yikes, look out, man. And maybe any of those guys could potentially not be 100% if they are out there playing on Sunday. So that worries me a little bit. How worried are you, Croc? Because you've been the voice of reason. You've been less worried about the 49ers cornerbacks all year than just about every 49ers fan out there.
Well, it's not so much that I'm not worried about the cornerbacks. I just feel like the scheme in place has minimized the damage that could be done, you know, with however D'Amico Ryans is doing it. So you're talking about all these corners that are out, and I don't think the corners are the reason why the 49ers defense has been as good as it is. So what are you really missing with these guys on the COVID list? I would be more concerned if it were Tart, Ward, and Hufanga on this COVID list. And if that were the case, then yeah, it's time to hit the panic button. But I do think with whatever D'Amico Ryans is doing, you know, having guys play more too high, be over the top to minimize a lot of the damage that could be done on the outside, I'm fine with it. As far as Cooper Kupp goes and him potentially, you know, breaking records on the 49ers, one thing the 49ers have kind of been prone to do is give up yardage to one guy. I think the way I look at it is if, you know, you give up, you know, if Matthew Stafford throws for 230 yards and 160 of them are to one guy, but it doesn't, you know, result in like a 500-yard passing game, I think you're fine. I don't think that's what would beat the 49ers. And that's kind of, you know, we've watched games and, you know, even let's look at A.J. Brown going off, right? A.J. Brown had 140 yards or whatever he had. I don't believe he was the reason the 49ers lost. I think it was because you threw an interception in the end zone and threw another interception that gave up short field and you know, those type of things, more so than the corners who really were bad on one drive. Outside of that, I think they were fine. There were little issues over the middle, guys hooking up in zones when they were spot dropping. I think that was a big issue. But anyways, it's more times than not when the 49ers lose, I don't think it's just because the corners outside of like the Colts game where it was clear because of all the pass interferences downfield.
Yeah, it's one thing if Cooper Kupp makes a bunch of catches over the middle of the field and the 49ers rally, tackle him, and they're not big plays. But it's another one if, say, Odell Beckham, you know, makes a big touchdown catch or there's breakaway touchdowns or a ton of pass interferences or something like that, where they're just able to not get pressure and they're able to block everything up from the 49ers front. And they're able to just keep trying it and go deep without any repercussions and any negative things happening, any interceptions happening. That's where I think the 49ers could run into some trouble if it's over and over again and it's big plays and it's just repeatedly getting third downs. If they can block up and it can continue to attack, say, one player, and they're going to try it. You know, they're going to try it. Matt Ryan tried it. Ryan Tannehill tried it. Carson Wentz tried it. It's on tape. It's out there. There's going to be a weakness in the 49ers secondary. Can they have time to exploit it? And will D'Amico Ryans not have enough resources, enough players to cover everything? That's the big question.
Yeah, and even in those games, like I would, if you look at Matt Ryan's passing numbers, like they weren't great. They did have some big plays, but it wasn't anything that hurt the 49ers. I believe they still only gave up, 10, 13 points, I believe it was, in that game. So that's what I mean. Like, now, if you want to talk about, I think the way that the 49ers fans view the cornerbacks and how they're getting done, watch the Cincinnati Bengals against Kansas City Chiefs game. I mean, it was just an ass whooping from T. Higgins to Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase almost had 300 yards receiving. T. Higgins going crazy. Tyler Boyd going crazy. I mean, like, when I think of, like, how the 49ers fans think the 49ers corners are getting did, they think it's like that. They're not giving up 400, 500-yard passing yard games.
The Niners only gave up 10 points to Stafford and the Rams, and a lot of that was playing keep away. They dominated time of possession.
And how many yards did Cooper Kupp have? He had 100 some 20 yards or something?
I will find that out right now. I'm looking at Stafford's stats in that game. Stafford had, he completed 26 of 41 passes for 243 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. He was sacked twice in that game. Cooper Kupp in that game had 11 catches for 122, but no touchdowns. Yeah.
And 13 yards. And they scored 10 points. And that touchdown was like late in the game or something like that. It was kind of a,
and it was all on Stafford. They were down early and they were just throwing. They carried the ball nine times with their running backs.
So typically when teams are down and they have to throw a ton, you're thinking the quarterback's going to throw for 300 something yards and they might be empty yards because, well, they were down the whole time and they had to throw a ton. He threw a ton 41 times and still less than 250 yards. To me, that's good defense. Like, you know, that's good by the secondary. Again, I'm not saying that the corners are a strength, but I'm just saying with the corners being on COVID, I'm not really worried about them because they're not the reason. Now, safeties, they help a lot of that. The safeties help to minimize a lot of the damage. And if they're out, then I start to hit the panic button.
Let me ask you this. Of all those players, Mosley, all the guys on COVID, Kaywan Williams, Ambry Thomas, Dante Johnson, and safety Jimmy Ward, which one's more important? Is it Ward that's actually more important? If you could pick one guy back, like if you were drafting and you were able to get one guy back, would it be Mosley? Would it be Ward?
Okay, let's say if I need two guys back, I would say it would be Ward and Kawan Williams.
Oh, you think the slot's more important with how much Cooper Kupp is used in the slot than...
Well, Ward does a lot. Coming down, covering the slot. You know. Obviously, he plays his two high. He plays his single high. He's so versatile in the way that they use him. So definitely him. But then also Kawan Williams, which is how they utilize him and how good he is in a slot with his blitzing, his tackling around the line of scrimmage, his coverage underneath. I think he does a really good job with all that. He lacks a little bit of like the vertical speed, but things that are underneath, he's good there. So I just think the way that they use him in the defense from the slot, that's something you don't really want him out. So I would like to have those two guys for sure, Ward and Kawan Williams.
If all the guys, if everyone's healthy, and that's the idea that there's still time for all these guys to be back, everyone that's on COVID, and let's say even Emmanuel Mosley gets activated as well, and you know Jimmy Ward's out there, everyone's out there. What do you think D'Amico Ryans is going to go to more? Do you try to man up with these guys? Do you play a whole bunch of zone? Do you try to stack the middle of the field, go single high with Jimmy Ward? Do you go too high, seeing one of those corners just to make sure you have coverage on the outside? Because it's tough because Stafford obviously can make throws down the field, but man, do you try to limit Kupp or do you let him get what he gets over the middle and still keep everybody back and just try to rally and tackle after guys do make the catch over the middle of the field?
You know, I remember 2019, I used to always try to change up what the 49ers did defensively. Like, oh man, they're playing the Bengals. They got Tyler Boyd and they have, you know, who they have at that time, maybe like AJ Green and or Sanu, whoever they had 2019. Yeah. They didn't have Sanu. But the receivers that they had, I remember thinking 49ers have to match up different because some of these guys can be a matchup problem. And they just did their thing and they balled. John Ross, it was like John Ross and some guys.
Yeah.
And from that moment, I just said, you know what? If your scheme is tight enough, then you'll be fine. And one thing I've noticed this year, I typically would think like matchups, but the 49ers don't play that way. They play their scheme. And for the most part, they do fine. They limit a lot of the damage. So, you know, I think just go out there and whatever game plan, you know, or D'Amico Ryans comes up with, that's typically good enough to win games. So I wouldn't so much focus on Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham. Now, again, they might do some things to limit the damage, play more too high. If it's me, how I would scheme around it, I would do some things where I'm going to go man in the slot, but I'm going to bracket him and I'm going to have a safety shading more towards Odell Beckham. That's essentially a double on the two most dangerous guys. And all right, just can I have a corner and maybe you put your best corner on Jefferson and all right, take him away and I'm bracketing the other two guys. And how do you beat that? Those are things that like the Patriots do.
One more question on the corners, Croc. I'm going to give you one more chance to change your answer. Everybody's healthy. Mosley lines up on the left where he's always been lining up. And do you move the rookie Ambry Thomas to the right side? Do you move the veteran to the right side, even though they hadn't been playing on that side? Or is Ambry Thomas the three and you go with either Dante Johnson or Josh Norman on the right side where they've been practicing?
I'm going with Ambry Thomas and Emmanuel Mosley.
Those are your two best. You're just going to go through two best. Do you move the rookie or do you move the veteran to the other side?
I mean, I'd ask them what they're comfortable with doing. I know Mosley can play both sides. You know, he played the left side. He's played the right side. He's played, you know, like predominantly being a right corner. He's predominantly been a left corner. He has done the field and boundary stuff. So I know he's probably more comfortable playing wherever. But, yeah, I mean, Ambry Thomas did a lot of that in college as well. He played right side. He played left side. He played kind of all over as well. So I think both of them are they'll be able to transition well.
I'd be worried about moving the rookie, just kind of getting his feet wet, just figuring things out, angles, and I wouldn't want to mess with him. If I'm going to start, I'm keeping him on the left, I'd probably have Mosley go on the right.
The only way that I would, like, struggle to, like, move him is if they've been doing field boundary. Like, if field boundary, because that changes your responsibilities. Like, if you're a field corner and a boundary corner, like your responsibility kind of changes. So right. if that's and the way that you play the receivers, that changes. So if they've been doing that, then I would be a little hesitant to move the rookie. But if you're comfortable with just, well, we just line up and we play our coverage, and no matter if he's to the field or boundary, then I think he could play either side.
We got to get to our keys to victory for week 18 here, Croc. And some of those do tie in to what we've been talking about in this segment here. But first, I want to let the listeners out there know about a fantastic app, an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about, Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Not only my listeners, but me. I downloaded the Get Upside app. It's awesome. You open up the map on the app. You say, that's the gas station I want to go to. I'm going to claim that deal, and I'm going to get cents back per gallon on every gallon of gas I'm about to get at the same gas station I was going to fill up at anyway. So it is free money, and it is a free app. Get Upside. Find it at the App Store, Google Play, Apple App Store. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN, and you will get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your very first fill-up. That is up to 50 cents cash back on your first fill-up. So don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Super easy, no catch. The cash goes right back into your account. You can cash out at any time to your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card, whatever you want to do with your cash. It is yours. Just download the free Get Upside app. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That is promo code TOUCHDOWN with the Get Upside app. Cornerback Emmanuel Mosley, my number one key to victory. Emmanuel Mosley, come back and be the dude that he's been, the number one corner for this defense this year. He's the best corner they have. It will help everything out. It would make me sleep a lot easier knowing that Emmanuel Mosley is going to be out there. That is my number one key to victory for the 49ers is don't be undermanned. And that starts with Emmanuel Mosley. I'd feel pretty good, not really too worried about who's playing on the other side. So I'm going to start there with Emmanuel Mosley, and I hope he comes back. That'll be a huge key to victory in this game.
Would be huge. I have had a high ankle sprain, and that's something that definitely can linger. So we'll see how he's moving. Sounds like so far everything is fine with him. Can't wait to hear about that. I think my first key to victory is just the quarterback. You know, who is it? You know, who are they more comfortable with? Who's going to be under center? I feel more comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo out there just because he's seen a lot. If I'm Raheem Mostert, Raheem Morris, I would throw the kitchen sink, the play. I would throw everything at the rookie. And to me, that just makes you feel a little uneasy in this type of game. So obviously, I love what I've seen from Trey Lance so far. But I think the key to victory is maybe having Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
Wow. Okay. My key to victory is just don't pick the wrong quarterback.
Healthy Jimmy. Sorry.
Healthy Jimmy. 100% Jimmy. Sure. I don't need to be 100%. Whichever quarterback they pick, you can't throw the ball to the other team, right? And that's a huge one for me here. That's my next key to victory. It's not so much just straight up turnovers, although we'll probably have to bring that up because that's important, not beating yourself. But you mentioned Raheem Morris and the Rams defensive coordinator. He's probably deep down thinking, you know what? Whatever I do, please, Matthew Stafford, don't throw a pick six in the first quarter because that makes everything I do that much more difficult. And so, Matthew Stafford here. This is what Matthew Stafford has done since that 49ers game. That was November 15th. Actually, let's start 1 week prior to that. So since November 7th, the week before against the Titans, Matthew Stafford threw two interceptions, threw two picks to the 49ers in that game, November 15th. Next week, he threw one interception. He went two clean weeks and the Rams won. And the Rams, by the way, lost all three of those games where he had two and one interceptions. Tennessee, San Francisco, Green Bay, all playoff teams. Maybe.
Hopefully.
Then he beat Jacksonville and Arizona. Zero picks, three touchdowns in both of those two games. Then the last 3 weeks of the season, they were all wins, but he threw one interception to Seattle. He threw three picks to Minnesota. And he threw two interceptions last week to Baltimore. Narrowly got out of there with some victories, but a lot of picks, a lot of pick sixes there. That's 11 interceptions since November. He's got 15 interceptions on the year. 11 of those have come since November. The 49ers got to get their hands on a football. And just like the last meeting, if they can take the ball away early and they can be physical with the run game. That is so huge to get that game script on your side. So let's keep that going. Jimmy G, Trey Lance, whichever guy it is, don't give the Rams the ball. And let's keep that streak alive for Matthew Stafford and have some takeaways, because that'll be a game killer for the Rams if the 49ers can take the ball away from them.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about Matthew Stafford and the interceptions, and they've been very ugly interceptions. Like, there are some interceptions where it's like, okay, I could see how, like, Trey Lance. Okay, guys, you know, you kind of short-armed a little bit and you end up throwing a pick. He's throwing it into, like, two people, and it's just like a jump ball, and, like, your receiver has no chance at it, and the guy just picks it off. Or that interception to Jimmy Ward, and it looked like maybe not on the same page with Odell Beckham. You know, that pick six that he threw last week against Baltimore, I mean, it literally like just threw it right to the guy for him to pick six it. Like, those are ugly interceptions. So hopefully he continues to throw those type of passes. To get him to throw those type of passes. Oh, go ahead.
One more note about Stafford, and this is kind of what dogged him and what some people said about him coming from Detroit. It's like, it looks good in fantasy football. It looks good when you see his highlights and him throwing the ball all over the place, but maybe not a winning brand of football, and he'll make some mistakes and he's not a winner. I'm not going to go that far, but there's plays like against that last week against Baltimore. He'll make some super high level throw. You're like, wow, that is beautiful. That's why you go trade first round picks to go get Matthew Stafford, because not a lot of people on the planet can make that kind of a play, can make that kind of a throw. Very next play, he throws it into triple coverage and throws an interception. And it's mind blowing. You're like, how is that? How are those two throws even the same guy? And, you know, pressuring him, giving him some looks, it'll be important for the 49ers. And, you know, some sticky corners would be real nice.
Well, that was my next key to victory. I think it's the pass rush. Just being able to move him off of his spot and make him uneasy, because clearly he's like a gunslinger, like a true gunslinger. Like, he's just going to throw the ball around. And we've seen it from guys like Brett Favre, where a lot of times, you know, it's successful and you can do things other guys can't. But also, Brett Favre has thrown more interceptions than anyone in NFL history. And I think Stafford is kind of that guy as well, where, he, like you said, he can give you the high-level plays, but he can do some weird stuff. And I think if you bring the pressure, whatever's in his mind about this decision that he wants to make, pressure or not, when that pressure's there, he's going to throw it anyways and maybe throw it sooner than he wants. And I think that can lead to turnovers. So I'm going to say get pressure on him early and often. Nick Bosa, we'll see how much they double team him. But if not, the key to getting pressure is going to be guys like Arden Key, DJ Jones, Ebukam, some of those guys. They're going to have to really be active.
The turnover was huge for the 49ers last time they played the Rams. They got the game script in their favor. They were able to run the heck out of the football. Elijah Mitchell had 27 carries for 91 yards in that game. They ran it 44 times. Debo carried it 5 times and had a score. I think that was the beginning of running back Debo that we saw, too, in the middle of February. Jeff Wilson was 10 carries for 28 yards in that game. Garoppolo carried it a couple times. But being able to have the scoreboard in your favor and run the football is huge. But really, the matchup, inside the matchup there, obviously the running game is going to be very important. But the one matchup is, can Dan Brunskill continue his dominance over Aaron Donald? Or should I say Dan Brunskill Jr.? Because he's been his daddy, Dan Brunskill. And it's amazing. And I love it. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to continue. You know, are you still going to be able to dominate up front against the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL? And the 49ers have been really good against the Rams front. Can they keep that domination going and run the football? That'll be massive. And I'm sure Kyle Shanahan would have no problems if you looked at the box score again after Sunday, and whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Trey or Jimmy, throws it 19 times, completes 15 of those passes for 182 yards, and they run the ball 44 times for 156 yards. I mean, that is exactly how Kyle Shanahan probably wants this game to go again. It was the perfect situation for the 49ers last time they played. But they, you know, they needed some help from the Rams to give them the ball. So that's going to be a huge one. But yeah, up front, continue that domination on the offensive line. The offensive line has played really good lately.
Yeah, and you talked about Brunskill, because I mean, I feel like it was not too long ago Aaron Donald had like 4 sacks in like a first half against the 49ers, just completely dominating the game and torturing 49ers and screwing up everything that Kyle Shanahan wants to do. You can't let that happen, especially in this game. And maybe the way to not allowing that to happen, and another key to victory, establish the run game. Don't put it all on your quarterback, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance. Establish a run game. Be able to get some of those outside runs going early on. I think that'll open up the big play action. Things like that could potentially slow down Aaron Donald just a little bit. And that'd be pivotal in this game.
So have cornerbacks rush the passer well, take the ball away, don't give it away, and run it. And that is a huge W. We might see more Jimmy W. Maybe we'll see Trey W. In this game. We'll find out. It's going to be fun. And since we did our keys to victory early this week, we will do a final pod. We'll record live on YouTube Thursday night. Time still to be decided on that one. And then it'll go up first thing for your audio podcast listening pleasure Friday morning. That is the plan right now. And of course, we'll come back and Crocky will be in the house at SoFi Stadium. We'll figure out when our post-game pod will be, our rapid react pod. As always, thanks for making us your first listen right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.